By special recording, General Mills, makers of Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions, and Cheerios, the oat cereal ready to eat, presents The Lone Ranger. With a speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a haughty high-o silver, the Lone Ranger. With his faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains, led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver. Let's go, big fellow. Hail, Silver.
Yes, sir.
Get on your way.
Get on your way.
Get on your way with Wheaties.
Something to think about, isn't it? To become a champ, you don't have to be born a champ. Take Bob Feller, pitcher for the Cleveland Indians. Young Bob was born a farmer's son. He practiced ball when chores were done. He worked for speed. He learned control. To be a champ was young Bob's goal. So he ate Wheaties bowl on bowl. Bob's been a champ for many years. It's Wheaties Flakes that he still cheers. Bob Feller ate Wheaties as a kid, still eats them now, 23 years later. You can't beat them. There's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. Okay, Bob, wind her up. Hey, hey, hey!
He's on his way, on his way. He's on his way, on his way. Get on your way with Wheaties. Cause champions are made, not born.
Yes, sir.
Get on your way.
Get on your way.
Get on your way with Wheaties. Breakfast
of Champions. The captain at Fort Griswold spoke to Emmett Gardner, leader of the wagon train that had stopped at the fort on its way west.
Gardner, we're undermanned here, as you can see. The only escort we'll be able to give you is a squad of men. They'll go with you as far as Fort Jackson, 3 days from here.
But I'm sure we need no escort, Captain. We have more than 40 men in our party. We're well armed, and the men are good shots. We'll get to Jackson, all right.
I can't compel you to stay here. So, if you insist...
We do, sir. We wish to go on at once.
And all I can do is hope that our scouts are wrong. I'll get the men at once who are to escort you.
Corporal Hanson?
Yes, sir.
A short time later, a squad of 8 cavalrymen left Fort Griswold as advance guard for the wagon train. An hour later, the main body of the train followed.
Get up! Get up! Get up!
Two days after the wagon train had left Fort Griswold, the Lone Ranger and Tonto sat astride their horses high in the hills. Beneath them, along the banks of a stream, was an Indian encampment of more than 1,000 warriors.
This is bad, Tonto. Those are Chief Crazy Bear's tribes. They're in war paint.
And the way them make camp, mean them get ready, go on warpath. You see, 5 tents near river?
Yes, those are council tents, aren't they?
And them belong to Crazy Bear and 4 other chiefs. That's where big chiefs meet. Make plans.
Crazy Bear was once my friend, Tonto. But if rumors are true, he's a friend of no white man now.
Him say white man break promise. Drive Injun out of country.
It would be useless to try to get to him now. There's only one thing to do, Tonto. We'll ride to the main trail to where the telegraph wires are strung.
You climb pole, cut in on wire?
It's the only way we can get soldiers from Fort Jackson to come in a hurry, Tonto. It'll take them almost a day to get here once they're notified.
If we ride, it'd take too long.
Yes. That's why we'll use the wires. Come on, Silver.
A few miles away, near the main cross-country trail, Corporal Hanson and his advance guard neared a thickly wooded section that hemmed each side of the road.
Men, the Rangers, watch out!
The soldiers, suddenly alert, slowed their horses to a stop. Then, before they could prepare to arrange a defense, more than 100 Indian horsemen rode from the underbrush, firing. Several soldiers fell to the ground wounded. The others, firing point blank, killed or wounded some of the braves, but were soon swamped by the wave of red men around them. Corporal Hanson yelled to the brave who led the Indians.
All right, Indians, we give up. Come on and take us.
A few minutes later, the band of about 100 Indians led the soldiers away from the road, up into the hills towards their war encampment. They left behind a group of nearly half that number of warriors to watch the road that led from east to west. The Lone Ranger and Tonto in the hills about half a mile from the main trail heard the approaching horsemen and reined their own animals back among the trees where they would not be seen.
He must not be look. Injuns. Eat plenty injuns.
They have some men slung across their saddles, Tonto. Soldiers. And they're wounded.
Other soldiers riding horses. Injun not kill them.
That means they're taking them to camp to question them.
The masked man and Indian watched from their hiding place as the war-painted Indians passed with the soldier prisoners.
Otto, now it's more important than ever that we get the message through to Fort Jackson. Come on, Silver.
Come on.
As the Lone Ranger and Tonto neared the decline that would take them down to the main trail, the masked man saw the approaching line of covered wagons in the distance.
Easy, fella. Tonto, it's a wagon train. A long one.
Kimasabi, me not see soldier with them.
I don't see an escort either. If they don't have one, it may be dangerous.
We go tell them about Injun?
Certainly. Because if we don't, they may... Tonto, we're too late. Look below, down with the trail in front of us.
More Injuns. Heap big band Injuns.
In ambush, Tonto. Getting ready to attack the train.
And what we do, Kimasabi?
The Indians can't see us up here among the trees. We'll ride up here along the ridge until we're opposite the wagon train. Then go down to the road and intercept it.
We stop wagon train, warn people.
Tonto, we haven't a second to waste. Come on, Silver,
get them up, stop.
Gardner and Mike Riley in the driver's seat of the lead wagon in the immigrant train saw the two horsemen galloping toward them. Gardner signaled a halt. And when he saw the masked man and Indian, he drew his gun and said to Riley,
"They're outlaws, Riley. Get ready for them. Draw! Right!"
The Lone Ranger and Tonto saw the action, but the Lone Ranger, stopping his horse, paid no attention to the weapon.
We're not highwaymen. Stop pointing the guns at us. Get them ready for the Indians. They're in ambush less than a mile ahead of you.
You're lying. You're hold-up men. We have soldier scouts who'd warn us if Indians were ahead.
The soldiers were ambushed themselves. That's why we came to tell you to stop here.
Damn it. He's telling the truth. Look, swarming out into the road, riding this way. They are Indians.
Don't stay here on the trail. Get off the road. Over near those trees. You'll have more protection. Circle your wagon.
Get up there.
The men quickly placed their wagons in a circle a short distance from the wooded area to the side of the road. By the time the Indians attacked, the women and children in the train had been placed inside two wagons at the center of the circle. The men crouched behind the wagons or sprawled out beneath them, held their fire until the Indians were near. Then their concentrated fire sent the red men in retreat.
We're holding off all right. And not hitting any of our people, are they, Riley?
No. Aren't they shot at a few horses? Masked man, you sure warned us in time.
Yeah, I'm sorry we didn't heed your warning.
Follow Evans. Those engine shots came close to hit the powder wagon that time.
I saw that. We better get it away from the rest of the wagons.
How do you said? You mean you're carrying blasting powder in one of your wagons?
We sure are. Blasting powder and that new stuff, dynamite. They say you can't start bombing where we're heading unless you blast trees and tree stumps to
me. Keep your head down, Emmett. Hey, you, Josh. You, Terry. Right, help me pull that powder wagon out of there.
The powder wagon was pulled back and placed in the center of the circle, near the wagons where women and children huddled. The Indians, aware that the pioneers were capable of defending themselves, were keeping their distance and firing few shots. Tonto called the Lone Ranger's attention to the Indians who left the attacking group to ride back into the hills.
Himatabi, them ride to get help. It's getting dark. Maybe we're able to sneak away, get to telegraph pole.
Stranger, what was that about getting to a telegraph pole?
If I can get to one, I may be able to get a message through to Fort Jackson.
Now, how would you do that?
I'll climb a pole, cut the wires, and touch them together and send a message.
What? Doggone, that beats anything I ever heard of.
Gardner, you can't hold off the Indians once their reinforcements arrive from the war camp.
Maybe you're right, but we'll try.
If there were only some way to hold them offshore until the soldiers get here.
Gardner Riley, I think there's an outside chance that might be done. A million to one chance, perhaps, but worth trying.
Quickly, a shot whined close by. The Lone Ranger outlined a plan. When he finished, Emmett Gardner fired one more shot. Then spoke.
You'd have to be a miracle man to do a thing like that. We have blasting powder and dynamite with caps and fuses. If you need those things, doggone it, you're welcome to them.
Ah, got that one. Yeah, Emmett, sure. Stranger, you think the Indians mightn't fight if they didn't have a chief to lead them?
Yes, they're equipped to field a battle if a chief is killed or hurt badly. And the greatest chief of all, Crazy Bear, is the one who'll lead this war, if it goes on.
Well, all I'm worried about is this battle and saving the people who are with us. That's the important thing.
What is it you want, stranger?
5 or 6 sticks of dynamite. Also 2 jute bags and enough blasting powder to fill them.
That part's easy. Riley, I'm crawling out of here for a while to help get the explosives.
You go ahead. We'll keep them off.
Curtain falls on the first act of our Lone Ranger adventure. Before the next exciting scenes, please permit us to pause for just a few moments.
I'm Mel Allen, the fellow who broadcast the New York Yankee baseball games. Naturally, I'm a little partial toward the Yankees, but I'll tell you this. When the Cleveland Indians come to town, there's one fella I really keep my eye on, and that's Wheaties champion Al Rosen, living proof that champions are made, not born. You watch Al in batting practice or whipping that ball around with his teammates, and you can tell every move has been grooved by years of practice. Sit down with Al for breakfast, and you'll see where he gets that energy. Al chooses Wheaties. He knows. You don't get on top or stay on top if you're not in top condition. Now, Wheaties are nothing new with Al Rosen. No, sir. He's been eating them 22 years, since he was 7. Not off and on either, but right along. Wheaties can help anyone get on his way. After all, there's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. You can take my word for it. Champions are made, not born. Get on your way with Wheaties. Breakfast of champions.
To continue, the Lone Ranger and Tonto each took 3 sticks of dynamite to which fuses were attached. They placed these in their saddlebags. Then they half-filled 2 jute bags with blasting powder and slung them across their saddles.
Gardner, it's less than 50 yards to the wooded area. Do you think your men could cover us that far?
You said yourself they were good shots. Sure they could, and they will. You get ready to ride for it. I'll get the word around what you want done.
A few minutes later, after instructing his men, Emmett Gardner gave an order.
All right, men, this is it. Give it to them big. Big!
The outburst of shots and the continuing fire took the Indians by surprise. Warriors fell from their horses, and those who were near them retired from the spot where the white men's bullets seemed to be heaviest. After
for another outburst, a streak of white seemed to emerge from between two of the wagons with a dark shadow in its wake. The Indians turned from firing at the wagons and sent shots wildly after the two figures, speeding through the dust toward the wooded hills. But the great horse Silver and the speedy scout were out of rifle range in a few minutes.
Hello, we got through. They'll never catch up with us now.
It'll be real dark soon. And not see us among trees.
Let's keep close to the road until we see a telegraph pole. Faster, boys! Come!
A telegraph pole down there.
Yes, I see it. Come on.
Come, Scott. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Oh, easy. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Toto, you keep your eyes open for trouble.
Me watch, King Sonny.
The Lone Ranger ran to the telegraph pole and began his climb upward using the spikes that protruded at spaced intervals on the pole. He used his knife to separate the telegraph wires, and then perched atop the pole, began to touch the cut ends of the wire together.
Well, Toto, I sent a message. Those Indians who rode for help have almost half an hour's start on us. We must hurry. Come on, Silver.
Come on, stop.
The camp's down there, Toto. We may still be in time. Come on.
Come, Scott. Come on.
The Lone Ranger and Toto rode down among the trees to a spot that skirted the Indian encampment.
All the Indians in camp seem to be gathered around the fire.
Indians who go to fight, dance. Indians who stay here, make prayer.
Where are the chiefs?
You see, them stand back from fire.
Oh, yes. There's Crazy Bear. He's the one we want.
We set off dynamite now, Kimasabi.
Yes. We place one stick here on the ground. The one with the longest fuse.
We get it. Here, Kimasabi. Here, one with long fuse.
All right. Place it there next to the tree. That's it. Start walking the horses toward the river. I'll light the fuse.
Come, Scout. Come, Silver.
As Tonto led the horses away, the Lone Ranger knelt on the ground and, shielding his actions behind a tree, lighted a match and placed it against the end of the fuse that led to the stick of dynamite. He hurried to where Tonto waited about 20 yards away. Here, the masked man repeated striking a match and lighting the fuse to a second stick of the explosive. Then the Lone Ranger and Tonto led their horses through the underbrush to a spot near the assembled chiefs as the ceremonies of the fire ceased. They saw Chief Crazy Bear step forward and speak to his braves in ringing tones. When he finished, the warriors headed toward their horses and guns at the far end of camp. Crazy Bear and the quartet of lesser chiefs, unarmed, turned and walked toward the council tent near the bank of the river. And at that moment, the first stick of dynamite exploded.
There it goes, Toto. We'll act fast and hope for the best.
50 feet away, the savages, awed by the explosion, shouted in alarm as trees and brush showered through the air.
Me go now, Kimasabi. Get him up, scout!
Toto, a tribe scout, sped from the bushes, riding between the chiefs and the spellbound Indians. As he rode, he poured blasting powder from a bag on his saddle into the high grass. Crazy Bear shouted in alarm, but at that moment, a second explosion took place, sending the red men into complete panic. At the same instant, the Lone Ranger placed the match to the blasting powder. Tonto had trailed behind him. There was a puff of smoke, a low explosion, and then a sheet of flame streaked across the ground and into the air, making a flaming barrier between the Indians and their chiefs.
Here we go, Silver. This is our big play.
The Lone Ranger rode from the underbrush, firing over the heads of Crazy Bear and the four chiefs, who had become as panic-stricken as their retreating warriors.
And Silver, I'll shoot you. Hold it, hold it.
The chief stopped, transfixed in the light of the leaping flames. Tonto, circling back after his dashing ride, rode up behind the Indians, ready to fire.
Oscar, we have guns. You not run.
You hear that, Crazy Bear? Me here. Me see.
But be not savvy.
Crazy Bear, where are the soldiers your braves made prisoners? Tell me, if you don't...
Me tell. They're entrenched down by a river.
Lead the way there. Come, Tonto. Move, Crazy Bear, and Tonto.
Crazy Bear and his chief led the Lone Ranger and Tonto to the tent where the soldier guards of the wagon train were held. The men were released, and Corporal Hansen said...
Some of my men are wounded, but they'll be able to ride if you have horses.
I see some on the picket line near Chief Crazy Bear's tent. You and your men ride those and guard Crazy Bear and the other chiefs.
All right, stranger. But where are you taking the chiefs?
Back to the wagon train. We'll circle around this area, ride up into the hills, and then down again through the woods to the wagon train. Get the horses from the picket line and get ready to go.
Many miles away, the men defending the wagon train could see the Indians gathered together a short distance away near the road. Emmett Gardner spoke.
Riley, those red men are strange creatures, aren't they? We shoot a few, and even though they have us surrounded, they retire and wait till they get help. Well, I'll bet they...
Men! What? Come from the woods! It's the masked man again in the Indian.
The men could see in the moonlight the great white horse and Tonto's paint galloping toward the wagon circle from the woods.
Keep the Indians away from them! Fire! Make way for them between those wagons! That's it! Here, this way, stranger!
We're safe so far. The Indians didn't get help yet. Did you...
Hey, you've got an Indian lying across your saddle.
Yes, I had the time to get him here, but... Well, take him off, will you please?
Take that Indian off the horse.
All right. Come on.
He looks like a chief.
He is a chief. That's Crazy Bear.
A short time passed, time in which the Lone Ranger spoke earnestly and sometimes threateningly to Chief Crazy Bear. Finally, the Indian spoke.
Me believe what man who covers face say.
Whatever troubles you've had will be handled in good faith by the Great White Father. I promise you that.
Me not want to die before time. Me do what say. You light fire so Injuns see face of Crazy Bear. When them see Crazy Bear, them come here. Listen to what chief say. Me tell them, throw down gun. Me tell them, no war.
Soldiers arrived from Fort Jackson the next day and found a subdued Indian encampment instead of the war-maddened one they had expected. A wagon train was drawn up near the Indian camp, and the leader of the train, standing with Chief Crazy Bear, told the officer in charge all that had happened.
And so Crazy Bear called off the band that attacked us. When morning came, we all sat around with Crazy Bear and made a brotherhood pact.
Injuns not going to fight white man now. Man who cover face, say all be good. Him know what Injuns think.
Well, he certainly must, else he'd never got away with that explosion trick he pulled.
I still can't believe he did. And yet the evidence is here. Crazy Bear, you knew that man before. Who is he?
Only white man, Injun trust always. Him, Lone Ranger.
Tom is a boy of six. He knows all kinds of cowboy tricks. He can rope a steer because he knows he's got go power from Cheerios. Yes, he's got go power.
There he goes.
He's stealing his Cheerios. Cheerios. Cheerios.
Everybody loves Cheerios. So delicious. Because it's made from toasted oats, all ready to eat with milk. And the go power it gives you. You see, each spoonful of Cheerios and milk is packed with vitamins, proteins, and minerals. The very things your body needs for healthy nerves, good red blood, strong bones and muscles. Yes, Cheerios is real muscle-building food. Have Cheerios every morning. Then you'll hear people say...
He's stealing his Cheerios.
Copyrighted feature of the Lone Ranger Incorporated is created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, directed by Charles D. Livingston, and edited by Fran Stryker. The part of the Lone Ranger is played by Brace Beamer. Your announcer, Fred Foy. Is brought to you by General Mills every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at this same time. Be sure to listen. This recorded program has come to you from Detroit. This is ABC Radio Network.